Good evening and welcome to Watch It A Watch, episode 39. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Can I just follow that leave meeting?
Just hit leave meeting link. Yeah.
He's recording there for you. This?
Yeah.
You never told us you recorded. What other of our intimate interactions have you recorded?
The internet loves both, so don't worry.
I like that there's only two options. It's really binary. It's up for a guy. So we're trying to go on holidays, anyways, boys. We're trying to go to Mallorca, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're not being on holidays?
No. I minded my children in a foreign country for 10 days. It's not a holiday.
That's not a holiday.
It's the hardest I've worked outside the office in years. I was doing 15,000 steps a day without trying.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And don't forget
Now I know why you don't want to work from home. I see.
Every one of those steps was in 29 degrees or hotter, which I'm not good for. I was explaining to a person at work there the other day who was really delighting in how the temperatures are hotting up in England. Mm-hmm. She's from South Africa. And she likes when it's warm, and white, presumably. But I was explaining to her that the enjoyment and the temperature, you know, that we eventually get to diminishing returns for me. Mm-hmm. So if you were to graph it, you would see like an upside down U shape. Once you go above about 22, I'm really not arsed.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're trying to go on holidays, right? Yeah. Before you so rudely interrupted me and then I covered over with some humorous stories. We're flying this time from Belfast, mm-hmm. right? Which a couple of years ago wouldn't have mattered. But now, after Brexit, that is all of a sudden a different country.
Yes.
Cool. Which is on a different...
It always was.
Well, it's outside the EU now, right?
Yeah.
Just for people not coloured by Republican thinking. So it used to be in the EU. Now it's not because of Brexit, right? So now I'm flying to Mallorca from a place that's not getting the benefit of being in the EU.
An independent proper country?
Which means that...
I haven't sold out to Vince Russell's masters.
I really need to find a better way of dancing around political issues with you guys. I feel like I'm walking smack bang into them. Right?
Every time.
So consequently, we have to show either vaccination, proof of vaccination, or a negative antigen. Yeah. Right?
Mm. That'll help keep your sovereignty. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so my vaccination is out of date, that needs to be a negative antigen test, right? Mm-hmm. And this has added a lot of stress to the holiday because, you know, these days, who knows when you're going to catch COVID and not, right? Mm-hmm. You know, back in the days when they had to wear a bell around their neck, it was so much easier. But so we've been looking for loopholes, like any good Irish person. We've been trying to find a way around this. Right? So... we identified that on the website that gives you your recovery cert, there's a link you can click if you haven't received the recovery cert. So we clicked on it to see could we do a bit of spoofing and get somewhere. So after wasting many hours of HSE time, we are no further forward. But there was a couple of fairly amusing dialogues between us and well-intentioned workers on the HSE side who simply could not find a record of us on their system.
Well, here's just throwing this out here. If your parents, any of your parents were born before 1949, you could maybe grandfather it in as a British subject status, so then you wouldn't be a foreign traveler out of Belfast.
You could take the soup. That's what he said. No,
it's about where we're going. It's about where we're going. We're going to Mallorca, which is in Spanish territory.
Okay. What about Gibraltar? That's still also British.
And you want me to jump from there, is it? Like the holiday's happening. We're going. But anyway, I have a couple of things up my sleeve. I would like to see. I would like to see the antigen test that can pick up coronavirus after I snort iodine.
Funny.
Yeah.
Get your coronavirus insurance anyway. I presume you have travel insurance. Just tick that box.
We have travel insurance, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't cost any more. Blue insurance does a good COVID package. Good stuff. So when are you thinking of going to Belfast Airport and home again.
We're recording on a Tuesday, right? So we're flying tomorrow week. So in 8 days time.
Nice. You better work from home for the next 8 days now.
Not too bad.
Be an awful shame to come down with it on day two.
Be an awful shame now at that company barbecue. You know,
I'd like to see. Oh, I had to work through the company barbecue. Don't even get me started.
Ben from accounts seemed overly friendly and familiar that evening.
Ben, the super spreader. Yeah, that's right. He's known for that lad. Let's see. What are we looking at tonight? We are going to talk about. Actually some new stuff and some old stuff, I guess. Let's kick off with the worst, which is Miss Marvel.
Right. Jesus. So Miss Marvel is from Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It was much touted because it was going to be the first ever Muslim superhero.
Is that why? Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yes, the first openly Muslim, right, superhero. You know, you could guess at religions of other superheroes in the past, but this is actually, there's a mosque is featured as one of the sets in this. They talk about being Muslim quite a bit. It's front and center, right? Part of it actually takes place in Pakistan. So on the surface, then you think, okay. So this is like tapping into some new cultural stuff, which it definitely is. This is going to have a lot of meat in it. And then once you start watching it, you realize, oh, actually, no, this is aimed at the TikTok generation, of which I am not a part of. Now, the trailer should have given this away, because that big song, you know, the one that they all do the tap dance and dance to.
Yes. Was it Jerusalem, was it?
Yeah, that one. That was the trailer, right? But anyway, so Miss Marvel is, she's a teenage girl who gets superpowers and starts immediately to struggle in with her using her powers, her own cultural identity, her relationship with her parents, and all of these other things that teenagers that aren't me would identify with. So because, you know, I left my cat o' nine tails somewhere I couldn't reach, I continued to watch it to the end of the series.
I watched them. Jesus, I just barely made the first episode, dude.
Yeah.
No, I didn't
look forward to any episode that I watched, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, Mike, do you want to go? Because like I have a major gripe.
Just to put a bit of context, this show was on the list for the last show that we didn't get around to doing. For because life happens. So I deliberately put it back on the list just in order to receive Mark's apology for putting it on the list the first time around.
I do apologize, Mike. You have my apology. I do apologize.
Accepted.
it was the highest rated MCU show.
I heard the numbers were appalling.
I've heard the opposite. Yeah.
It was review bombed at the start, but it's the highest rated MCU TV show at the moment.
I thought it was the lowest rated ever. No.
Yeah, I'd heard it was badly disappointing.
It was review bombed.
Okay.
It was review bombed, but see, it depends on what you're talking about. I'm talking about reviewer scores, right?
No, I'm talking about people who actually sat down and watched it.
No, it's done worse than all
not
the
fan scores. We're talking about
So bums in seats, yeah, it didn't do very well. I think it was around 500,000 or 600,000 an episode or something like that, whereas the last Disney show was a lot closer to 1 million.
Right.
But it did come out exactly the same time as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Dope.
So that was a choice though.
But that doesn't matter.
I have to wonder about that.
That doesn't matter. I don't think the people are going to choose one show per week. Yeah. If there was two Obi-Wan Kenobi shows, they'd watch both. If there's two MCU shows, they'd watch both. Yeah. You know, I'm sure MCU has overlapped before. Like, you know. But this is just such shit. Jesus, it's not often I say it, but this is just absolute horseshit. And there was no excuse for this, right? And the worst bit is that she didn't get her powers until, like, you know, after 50 minutes of absolute tripe and torture. Absolute torture. Yeah. Man, the words I came up with to describe you weren't pleasant.
Yeah. Hey, but remember, though, I didn't know this going in.
Yeah, no, okay, fair enough.
You've watched enough MCU to fucking know what you're doing.
Right, well, can I just,
he didn't.
Yeah. Can I just, the point I wanted to make about Miss Marvel, the reason why I'm kind of glad we're talking about it now, is like, I read the comics when Miss Marvel came out, right?
He fucking knew, because, Mike. He knew.
Because I didn't. I'm trying to make the point that I didn't.
Okay, right? Sorry.
So, in the comics, right, you guys didn't watch an awful lot of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
No.
And you don't read a lot of comics, right? There's a crossover here. You probably remember we did watch an episode of Inhumans.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how deep I should go into this, right? But Inhumans get their power from a process called pterogenesis, right? Mm. Where if you're selected, you're put into a chamber, it's filled with this pterogen mist, right? And if you're lucky, if you've won the genetic lottery, you come out with powers. If you don't, you die.
Pterogen bomb.
Right. So in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and in the comics, pterogen mists are kind of released a bit more willy-nilly. Right. So rather than it being this great big selection process only available in humans, it's kind of thrown out there for a lot of people to get it. That's how Kamala Khan got her powers in the comics. Right. Okay. She found herself walking in the middle of pterogen mist. And next thing, she cocoons, then she comes out and she's got powers. And her powers are a bit like Mr. Fantastic. She can change her shape and stretch and stuff, right? Which is a hell of a lot better than what she does in this. Like, she essentially got a magic bangle, right? Like, I knew about that part going in, right? Because I'd seen the trailer. I knew about that. I didn't know that everything else was different. Like, but anyway, One of the reasons why I kept with it till the end. Well, I suppose we should say some of the good things about it, because there are good things, right? Like, Iman Vellani is a really good actress. I thought she did a great job. She was a very believable teen. Her struggles with her mother, for example, in the traditional Pakistani household, I thought were very authentic. I thought all that stuff worked. It wasn't interesting. Didn't like watching it, but it all felt real to me. So they're doing a good job.
Gotta pull you up there, Mark.
Go ahead.
This show got fucking slaughtered on precisely that, because the lead actress is indeed from a Pakistani background, but all the other primary actors are Bollywood actors.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Indian Hindus.
All right.
And their accents were slated for being Bollywood accents as opposed to proper Pakistani accents. It was a bit like Tom Cruise's Far and Away Irish accent.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
So.
And also, her so-called Islam is, it's no more fucking Islam than Joe Biden is Irish, like, you know. Like, she would be so fucking honor murdered if she was hanging around unescorted with fucking unrelated males. She'd be stoned to death in the morning.
So was it no Muslim woman could act the way she acts nowhere in the world?
Not in a Muslim majority country.
But what about in America, which is where this is set?
Well, that's what I'm saying. These are like plastic patties. They're pretend Muslims.
Okay, so this is not real at all.
No. It'd be like Reformed Judaism. You know, they pretend they're Jewish, but like everybody knows it's not real.
So it's Muslim people so that white folk like me can feel like we're experiencing culture.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Muslim light, you know, without the beheadings and the goat murders.
Thanks for pointing that out. They did fool me, right? So I guess they did what they were trying to do. Really, what I was talking about was being authentic, was that relationship with her mother, though, in a traditional Pakistani house.
Okay.
Right. Now, I'm nobody to judge what a traditional Pakistani house looks like, but having a disapproving mother for many years, a lot of that stuff resonated with me. I thought that was good. Right.
It crosses cultures. Yeah.
But I think maybe if you'd just been a better son, your mother mightn't have resented you so much.
I know that that's what she thought.
If you weren't such a bollocks.
That's definitely
what have I raised?
they still think that to this day. But anyway, to get to the end, right? So I don't recommend that anyone should watch this. I think everyone should avoid this, right? But we know now that they're doing a girl power MCU movie next year, the year after, called Marvels. And it's going to have Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, that we're talking about now, and a couple of other female superheroes, right? So it's just going to be a girl power superhero movie.
Can't wait. It'll be just like Ghostbusters.
Well, we'll see. Captain Marvel was a good movie, like, compared with the rest of the MCUs. Anyway, I watched it to the end. I shouldn't really have bothered. Her powers got slightly less annoying as she went along. But, like, they made some really poor decisions, like, really
bad. Mark, there must be some kind of award or something you can get for such endurance, heroic endurance.
I know, right? I don't know. I think we should get an award as well, you know, just for taking one or two for the team, you know. So, guys, don't watch this. It's awful.
So what are we talking about next, Steve? I think I better move on to save myself here.
Go on, give us an update in Love Island. Fuck, get it all wrote.
To be honest, I wouldn't know where to start. There's so much to talk about.
10 words or less. Last week, you know, what happened?
Well, tonight is probably better. Like, last night, the girls had to do kiss, marry, pie. Okay. And so that's, you kiss somebody, then you propose to somebody, then you pie somebody in the face. And with just a pie. It's a pie, like,
okay,
cream pie. But and tonight the boys are doing it, so I'll get to catch up on that later. But the big difference this year is, you know how in the middle of it, once they're kind of coupled up and people are starting to build relationships, then they separate the boys from the girls and bring in new boys and new girls, and it's Casa Amor, right?
Oh yeah, what's his name? It's amazing. Whose kid is in there? What's his name? Ronan Keating's kid.
Oh, he lasted.
I heard that. Yeah,
15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes. He lasted. He's gone.
Oh, is he gone again?
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Probably had some drugs to deal.
So he literally had 15 minutes of fame.
Wow. 15 minutes of fame, but you know what they say, you can't predict those things. Life is a roller coaster.
You've been holding on to that one for about 2 weeks.
It's not that I've been holding on to it. I've been making the joke every 15 minutes when he was on the TV. But so ordinarily what happens in Casa Amor is you'll have one to three solid couples, and both sides of the couple will sleep outside and not really engage with the new people at all, right? And this year, like, all bets were nearly off. It was just completely fucking, like, you know, it just went to hell in a handbasket. And there's so the girl that was deaf, she's not deaf now.
Oh, the fixer.
She has cochlear implants.
All right.
What do you call her?
No, it's just under the fixer. All right.
She's cochlear implants, but like she.
You're going to say they gave her a Bible and she prayed really hard.
The thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
Anyway, I thought her and her partner were a shoo-in to win it because she was deaf. But she went off with somebody in the Casa de Amor, and now they're back together again. And the relationship looks a bit sour from it, like, and which is good because I find her really annoying. So it's really spicy, I suppose, is the word for it this year. Like, there's not a whole lot of love, but there is a lot of rowing. And I have my eye on Davide and Ekansu. I think they could be dark horses to win this year. It'd be amazing if they did. Like,
why don't you just watch EastEnders instead?
That's not really
probably better looking people. All right, okay. Yeah. Same thing though, you know.
That's the Love Island update.
I think it's probably fair to say the eye candy is a bit better on Love Island than EastEnders.
That's debatable now, Mike. It's debatable. It depends on your own demographic, you know. Remember, Mike, half your age plus, I was going to say 7, but 70.
Half his age is 70. Just your age, Mike. Just your age.
So it's Love Island. Umbrella Academy's back.
It is.
Good God. Is that the fucking Monkey Kong thing?
There is a guy in it who had his jeans spliced with an ape, yes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. They made 3 series of this.
I think this might be the best season yet.
I've only watched the first one, and it's excellent. Yeah.
I downloaded it while I was away, minding my children in a hotter place. Mm-hmm. and it was how I maintain my sanity.
Yeah. It's one of those you're either into it or not, in fairness. I can see why you don't like it, Mike.
I mean, it'd be all right if Charlton Heston was in it, but for fuck's sake.
Are we talking about the same thing?
I'm wondering that now too. There's one.
Oh no, he's talking about the butler.
Oh, okay. And he's barely in this season.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's, you know, it's very, obviously it's superhero-y kind of, you know, kind of stuff as well, but it's got a nice twist on it and it's got a nice dark approach to it. And it's very funny at times, but
it's hilarious at times.
But also there's an element of time travel, which actually is hilarious. It's just brilliant. It makes the new stories and that kind of thing. So
yeah, they do a lot with it. They eventually they reinvent the reality between each season.
Yeah.
So every season it's the same basic cast of characters, but a completely different setup.
I recommended it to loads of people, like as we did when we first watched it. But yeah, Umbrella
Robert
Academy
Sheehan is brilliant in this season. It's his best yet.
It's just. It's such a mash of characters as well. Follows the same kind of formula where they're all kind of different powers, I guess. Yeah. Or mutations or whatever you want to call it. It's very funny. It's very funny. What else was on? Any other special mentions there?
I give a quick mention to a show I've been listening to.
Uh-huh.
It's called Batman Unburied and it's on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
So it's a, what do they call it? It's not like an audiobook. It's a, oh, Mike, help me out here. It's
for the radio drama kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. There's a word for it that I'm forgetting. Anyway, it's like all different actors and actresses and they're acting out this Batman story, the special effects and everything, right? So basically the story starts, Batman, or Bruce Wayne, I should say, believes that he is the chief pathologist for Gotham. And has no memory of anything other than that.
Okay.
Doesn't know that he was ever Batman, doesn't know who Batman is. And meanwhile, there's a serial killer on the loose and Batman's only interaction seems to be in running the autopsies on these bodies, right? So it's a mystery straight away. Why is Bruce Wayne believing that the world is different and what's going on with the serial killer? And it kind of goes from there. So I'm four episodes in. It's really good. It's good quality Batman writing.
Yeah. Is it... what do you call it? Lots of bells and whistles in terms and sound effects and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, the sound effects are pretty good, but it doesn't rely on them. So it's really just, it is a lot like a serial killer TV show in the backdrop of Gotham with Batman elements in it. Like the Riddler makes an appearance. So it's not like, it doesn't, they're there as tools, but they're not crutches.
Okay. There's a hell of a lot of good audio drama out there these days. I might even enjoy that.
I think you would, and like the cast is fairly like high rent. Like you probably remember Lance Reddick. He's been in a load of different things. He's in this. I'm not going to say who he is because there's some spoilers right to do such a thing. Jason Isaacs plays Alfred. Again, someone you would know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is what they do when they're not making movies, huh?
Yeah.
So Lance Reddick from The Wire is who I'm talking about. Police captain, was it? And then Jason Isaacs, what was he in? We know him from Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter. He was in The Patriot and in a lot of other things. So recommend it. Batman Unburied. Worth
Very
it.
Very good.
Cool.
What else we watch? Something from Apple TV or Apple Plus, whatever you want to call it. Blackbird. This is a true story of a convicted drug dealer who's offered his freedom in exchange for coaxing a confession out of a suspected serial killer and finding out where the victims are buried. What do we think, Mike?
This is right up my street, I have to say. I really enjoyed it. And of course, I had to go and look up the backstory. And,
of course. Larry Hall,
It said it was inspired by, and I was wondering, okay, does that mean like they have just the name in common or is it actually matching it? But as far as I could see, they're staying reasonably close to the the actual happenings.
Yeah.
And the guy, Larry Hall himself, the actor who's playing him, is just fucking brilliant.
So you both watched on then, both of you have gone past, because the synopsis you gave, Steve, is the first episode.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's all that, what you've described there is all that happens in the first episode. So you've gone on and watched more. Spoilers, you liked it.
The rest of the stuff we're talking about is actually in the trailers.
Well, no, I wasn't. I was just pointing out, I've only seen the first
episode. Oh, yeah. Of course, you have, what's his name in it as well?
Taron Egerton.
Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta is in there.
Yeah, it was his last show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Greg Kinnear.
He's actually really good in this. Sometimes I find him a bit hit and miss, but I think he's really
a bit annoying sometimes.
Yeah. But they've managed to keep him on the straight and narrow to avoid that annoying aspect of his character.
Good direction.
Yeah. Somebody whispering in his ear, Greg, don't be a dick. At the end of the scene.
Greg, can I say that again? Can you turn down your dickheadness to like... Okay, we're going to go again this time. Three.
This week. Good Greg this week. Good Greg. What do you think, Mark?
I can't believe the shape Taron Egerton was in.
All right. Yeah. So did a lot of push-ups. Like
at the start of this, he's walking around with like no top on a lot for no real reason. Other than the fact he goes, I paid for a personal trainer for 9 months for this shit. So film it all.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I think it's really high quality acting, direction, like Mike's already covered. I think I don't have an awful lot to say about the sets yet because it's early days. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Supermax. I've only seen the kind of the day spa prison so far.
Okay.
And only a room or two in that. Mm-hmm. I'm just setting that aside. But I think it's really quality. Like I'm a sucker for a good serial killer story.
Yeah.
And I was very conscious while watching this that serial killers have been played to death, and yet I find this really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of because you know it's what's happened. Like, there's nothing to uncover.
Yeah.
Except for is he going to say something?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we all know he's guilty as fuck.
Yeah.
But the question is, can your man Egerton wangle it out of him?
And I've seen some of the reviews in this, and it struck a chord with me. And some mentioned that they compared it to Mindhunter. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I love Mindhunter.
It really does. When they were questioning the serial killer in the prison at that time, I was just like, oh my God, this is all like it. You know, so yeah, it's great. What was the other thing I meant to say to you? Something else that rang true with me was someone was saying, oh yeah, that is, you know, it starts off like a police procedural.
Yeah.
And then it switches and you just go, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And then you just go, oh, now I'm in. Yeah. Yeah, really good. Yeah, love this.
Yeah, the work without spoiling it, what you're referring to and the work they did on this character establishment at the start was very effective.
Yeah.
Really good. You got to see a lot of different aspects of him, you know, in stark relief pretty quickly. I thought that was good.
Yeah. You have to hand it to Apple. They've really upped their game over the last couple of years. Some really good shows coming out in that.
Yeah. They've been pretty consistent, especially this year. What was the...
Severance.
That's the one I'm trying to think of. Yeah. There's a few others, though. And
we had Foundation last year.
Yeah. So is this... That's kind of the way Prime was when it first came out, too, I thought. You know, that we're watching a lot of stuff on that, but not as much recently. There's a lot of mid-tier shows, like the Hole in the Ground one.
Yeah.
what was it called? Lost in the Range? What was it called?
Outer Range.
Yeah. That kind of, like, it's not top tier. It's mid-tier, you know.
You're talking about Amazon Prime now, derogatively.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a show from there last night called The Terminal List, starring Chris
Pratt. Yeah.
That I think is really, really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway,
maybe we'll talk about
to finish up on this one. You both are already watching more episodes. I'm going to watch more of it, I think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So this is Blackbird Apple Plus, and it's should watch it. You definitely should watch it.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
I think there's only six in it, so it's not too much of an investment.
Yeah. Resident Evil. Who's going to tell us about it? Do we need to tell people Resident Evil?
I think the world and its fucking mom knows.
Okay, tell us about Resident Evil or someone. Yeah.
Okay, this is yet another Resident Evil reboot. This time...
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, normally I'm all on team Resident Evil. I said, make it shit and make it often. And I'm happy.
Well, about the making it often bit, anyway.
But this time around, they've... plot first. There's Raccoon City. There's a scientist. There's some shady goings on with an umbrella corporation. There are some supposedly lead characters that we're going to have to worry about for the series. And... there are some T-virus mutants wandering around in...
And everybody's called Wesker.
So the variants...
Extremely, extremely diverse as well.
Yeah. So they're putting Raccoon City, it's new Raccoon City in South Africa. And I suppose, okay, we have our strong, diverse female cast. Who are also vegan and willing to fight for their veganism. So you can see there was an agenda already on the writing board. We're going to have our position first, and then we'll work the plot around that and the character development, all that other stuff. And to be fair, the Resident Evil universe has torn them a new asshole for this. The only positive reviews that I saw anywhere were clearly paid shill kind of reviews.
I'm about to give it a positive review. You don't know me. You don't know my life.
I did see that check that was addressed.
Resident Evil doesn't have to pay me. I like this show. I don't know what you're all up on your high horse about it. Maybe you should stop reading the internet, Mike.
I'll tell you what my problem with it is. Like, I expected the woke crap because it's almost par for the course at this stage. And I know in my heart of hearts that it's not going to be as bad as the Lord of the Rings coming out in the autumn.
I never thought of that. Oh, what'll they do to it?
The Hobbits have already gotten the far and away accent.
Yeah. Black Hobbits with Irish accents. Bad Irish.
Don't hurt me like that.
Top of the morning to you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So it'd be like, and my axe. And my shillelagh.
Well, you dance with me, bud. Jesus. Really? I never thought of that. Bubble burst. Because I thought the trailer looked fantastic.
The trailer did look fantastic. But don't let Mike do this to you.
Andor?
No, don't let Mike do this. Mike has his arms folded at the world from the minute he gets out of bed in the morning. And he's spreading it on you now. I'm really looking forward to this thing. And I've never once thought, well, what if they're woke? I can handle a couple of non-binary hobbits.
You know, they're going to take Tom Bombadil and turn him into the leprechaun from fucking Lucky Charms.
Lads, it doesn't matter once we've all got furry feet. You know, that's all that comes out at the end of the day.
All that matters.
Anyway, what I was going to say to you, Resident Evil.
I do have, like, apart from that obvious woke aspect.
Well, it's not aimed at us, would you agree?
What's that?
It's not aimed at our generation.
No, but it should be. I mean, we're the only people who are going to watch it.
There's 12-year-olds pretend to be adults in it. You know?
You're both right. You're both right.
You know what I mean?
Not aimed at us, but they would have done better had they done so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, the people they're aiming at have much better stuff to be doing with their lives than watching fucking zombie TV shows. And
Yeah, because those TV shows can't be summarized into 15-second TikTok videos.
Exactly.
How the fuck are they supposed to enjoy them? But can we get back to how I liked this show?
Okay, Mark, explain to us how you want.
So there's two timelines running concurrently, right? One is pre-New Raccoon City apocalypse, and the other one is way beyond the apocalypse, right? And when Beyond the Apocalypse one started up, I went, this is going to be shit. Like, this is just going to be, oh, there's zombies everywhere, which I've seen, right? But I really like the approach they took to that. I'm not going to talk about it too much, right? But I thought they actually did bring a little bit of originality to this. Remind me to talk about We're Alive in a second.
Okay.
And then the pre-Raccoon City, it annoyed me a little bit that everyone's called Wesker, because I know who Wesker is and he's none of these people.
Yeah.
And I would have preferred if they just didn't bother, but they have to. They have to be able to point back to the game. See, we said Wesker, and Wesker was in those games. But they shouldn't have bothered with that. But I do like the story in there as well, because there's a bit of a, well, what's going on? What's going to happen? You know, it's like the opposite of a superhero origin story. Like it's a like a flesh-eating monster origin story. So I'm looking forward to see how that happens. So it has two hooks in me from the get-go, and I'm able to look past the fact that the children that are the main characters are fairly annoying.
I will, well, on the monstery side, I'll give it kudos. I do like their crowd scenes. They seem to have done a good job on getting the chaos of a crowd going. I did appreciate that.
Sequences,
But on the downside, they've gone a little bit too big on some of the monsters. I like the...
I know the one you're talking about, that big fucking slug or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, the Resident Evil isn't really all about fucking Thanos, 300-foot-tall fucking demigod threat. It's more of an up-close-and-personal kind of a threat. You know, some fucking evil Doberman drooling zombie saliva over your face as he contemplates removing the skin. So I think it was a mistake to try and go big with the monsters.
I would agree. I don't think they need
Have you watched more than episode one?
Yeah. I'm a good way into it. And I'm going to keep watching it until it's finished.
What episode are you on?
Three, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the first two done.
Okay, I've been told to skip the first six and then have a great time.
With the last one, is it?
The last two.
Yeah. That's probably not a bad strategy in terms of time management.
Yeah, well, you kind of know what's going to happen up till then. You kind of know what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
But like, but if you're into it, you kind of want to see how it happens at the end.
Yeah.
But, time for this kind of, you know, drama. House, you know, family drama in the middle, you know.
I said I would quit, unless you're trying to get in there with something else about this, Mike.
No, I was just going to talk about the girl's plot armor being so strong that Steve has no worries about missing the first six episodes because
they'll still be there. It's bulletproof. Yeah. Speaking of zombies, the We're Alive podcast is back with a new show called We're Alive Descendants. So this is another audio drama like Batman Unburied. It was one that I watched for years back when it came out, and 10 years later, then Mike recommended that I should watch it. So they did one show after that called Gold Rush, which was amusing, but not kind of the same as the last one. And this one now, Descendants, is also set way past the apocalypse. Okay. And it's actually good, right? I had my arms folded because I was going, what's after the apocalypse going to be? Except very few people and a lot of zombies, but they've put a lot of thought into what's happening there. Nicholas, the kid, Saul's kid, that the first kind of show finished up with, is the main character in this. He is unfortunately gotten an annoying voice. And when your only reference point for him is that he's is his voice, it's an issue. But it's good. A couple of the old favorites are back. Pegs, Bert.
Bert is still alive. No way.
Bert is in his 80s in this.
Yeah, he was a million years old in season one.
Yeah. He's in his 80s. Yeah. And they're going, you can't go off doing stuff in your 80s. He says, stop me if you can, you know. But he's a great character. I really, really enjoy him.
I actually started listening to it from season one, episode one, a couple of months ago.
Again? Yeah.
Well, I didn't complete it first time around.
Oh, okay.
So I went through, I think it was 36 episodes in season one, and loved all that. But now I'm in two minds because there are synopsis
They've done them themselves.
Shows
they've
available.
Actually, they've synopsized their own show,
Yeah, for season 2 and 3. And I was thinking, well, I could listen to them and then get straight into Descendants. Or
it depends on what you're enjoying it. You know, like, does it matter that you're not up to date? You know, like, do you have to be listening to the current stuff? Just enjoy the old stuff,
It's just that I feel left out when people are talking about how good Descendants is.
Well, I'm sorry for leaving you out, Mike.
It's non-inclusive,
Right. Come on for the main event anyway, Steve. It's time.
Are we finished with Resident Evil then?
I think so.
Are we not going to tell people not to watch it? No. If you're between what?
If you've really
16 and
got nothing else to watch, maybe give it a look.
When you're 16 or maybe up to 19, you'll love this. Yeah.
So the latest installment of the MCU arrived 2 weeks ago now. Thor, Love and Thunder, which is a title I love and thunder. So what's happened? Thor has gone through a tough time. He lost his mummy. He lost his brother. And he put on a bit of weight. Happens to all of us. And he was a bit sad. And he started gaming. That can happen too. And it seems like at the start of this movie, that's where we find him. And we're treated then to a montage where he goes from, and this is in the trailer, I'm not spoiling anything here. Mm-hmm. He goes from dad bod to god bod.
Yeah.
Which is ably narrated by Taiki Waititi, who plays the voice of Korg, who also directed this show.
He did indeed, yeah.
And we're also introduced to a villain called Gore, who's played by Christian Bale, who's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him at all until I actually looked up the cast. I was like, what?
I know. Yeah. He actually reminded me a lot of his machinist character once he actually realized that it's him. But
I thought he was brilliant. Just straight off, that was one character I got straight off the bat. It was just, fucking gone. That's what to say. He's a
really good character, yeah. And his powers are really good, really like visceral, like the way he tackled things. And so that's it. In the trailer also, you will have seen that Jane Foster is back. And that's kind of the movie.
Thor that kind of confused me as well, because I thought that was the Scarlet Witch. And for quite a long time, I was wondering why her powers were different.
Doesn't matter though, Mike, does it?
So in the original Thor movie, the first Thor movie.
When you boil it down, really.
In the first Thor movie, Thor met the scientist, Jane Foster, played by Natalie Portman, and they had a relationship. And the end of that relationship was never really covered in other movies. It just kind of was mentioned that, they're not together anymore, and everyone moved on, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an element of unresolved feelings there that's shown in the trailer and addressed in some detail in the movie.
Wow.
And I actually thought it was one of the better human stories I've seen in the MCU, to be honest. I really enjoyed it. Mike, you're laughing, so I think you should probably get in and tell us what you're
doing. No, I'm just having a flashback to the scene in The Rum Diary when Johnny Depp breaks up with Amber Heard in a seedy bar in the middle of nowhere.
Is this a current affairs thing?
Who's all that coming?
It's a very unflattering scene. Just the thoughts of Natalie Portman being involved in such a sordid endeavor. So much humorous. But no, Mark, you do go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thor. I wasn't expecting much, I'll admit. But I have to say, this is one of the better MCU movies I've watched. Thought it was funny. Well made. They obviously spent a lot of money, 250 bazillion monies of some sort. It's a good story. It's not.
It is.
You know, it's different enough from the usual. Oh, I'm a superhero, and he's a superhero too, but he's a bad one, and I'm a good one. So we'll, clash and save worlds because he wants to kill everyone. You know, it's different enough that but still stays true to being a superhero movie. You know, I do like the bit of backstory as well because I had no idea. I didn't know she was missing or who she was, so it was great. And it was. Did I say it was funny already? because it was very funny at places.
And it's because it's Taiki Waititi. It's exactly your kind.
Yeah, exactly.
Humor.
Yeah, you can see it straight
dry
off.
Is he New Zealand? He's a Kiwi.
Yeah.
Dry New Zealand wit. That was and very funny.
As long as Natalie or Wanda keep turning up, I'll keep turning up. That's what.
And I really enjoyed the love triangle between Thor, Mjolnir, and Stormbreaker. It was the funniest thing. So funny, which completely took me by surprise. I did like the way they handled Thor and his powers. And I liked that even though he was at most times completely invincible, when he was fighting Gorr, it all seemed really perilous. It's tricky to do. This is where, like, they didn't have to have kryptonite, for example, which is what they do with Superman. You know, he's a god, except if the green stone is around. So I really liked the way they handled that.
I just gave him a black lightsaber. Here you go. That'll sort him out. Yeah.
You won't like that. No. I think the cameo by Russell Crowe was amazing.
Oh yeah, that's who it was. Of course. Yeah.
And interesting to note, right? So I don't know if this is, so he's playing the part of a Greek god, right? And Taiki Waititi couldn't make his mind up, so he made him do all his scenes in both a Greek accent and a posh British accent, like Clash the Titans. And in the end, they settled with a Greek accent, which I think was the right decision. Did you stay for the after the credit scene?
No. Didn't.
Okay. Well, as soon as I saw who Russell Crowe was, I went, we're going to see this character appearing.
Of course.
In the post-credit scene. And sure enough, there he was.
I must look it up. It must be on YouTube or somewhere. Yeah. I'll find it.
Yeah. They only delayed the post-credit scene by about 20 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So
how narrow is the window of opportunity to, to see
So I don't know how fast you were getting out of your seat, Steve, but you must have needed the bathroom or something.
Yeah. I was on a mission, man. it's on YouTube. Okay.
My immersion was briefly broken when I thought of you, Steve, during something that was going on in the movie. I don't want to spoil it, obviously, but when Thor was having a rough time, I could hear you coming onto this show and saying, why didn't he just call the Avengers? So I paused briefly in my enjoyment of the movie to go, fuck that guy. So anyway, I think it's brilliant. I think it's one of the better ones. We have an actual villain. An actual villain with a backstory you can believe and a motivation you can understand. Yeah. And he's like, you said it well, Steve. Like, you've got a hero, a superhero who's a bad guy, a superhero who's a good guy, and they clash. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant. They just have opposing goals, basically. Mm. It's really, really good. And then to put somebody like Christian Bale doing that job, it was just brilliant. Because, you know, good villains have made so many superhero movies in the past. I think this one went a long way towards doing it.
I like the way they brought in the characters, you know, from other franchises, would you call it?
The Guardians of the Galaxy. There's some very funny stuff there.
I like that kind of crossing over.
The fan theory for this movie was that it was going to be the Asgardians of the Galaxy, which is like a comic story arc. Mm-hmm. But they obviously decided not to do that. They're just going to split them up now. But there's some very funny interactions between Star-Lord and Thor. I really enjoyed that.
You know, the first Thor you made us watch, I think it was the first Thor.
Yeah.
Which we went to absolute town on, didn't like it. Because it was a serious movie nearly, but
it was very close to the comic as well, very close to the original Thor comic.
Yeah, and they're all gods riding around on horses, and you're going, what the fuck? You know, come on. The space travel and time travel, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah, okay, so, okay.
Yeah. So then Waititi, did he do the second one?
No, the second one's awful. That's the worst of the Thor.
Maybe that's
series.
The one I didn't watch. Yeah,
he started with the Hulk one.
Whichever Thor he started up with.
Ragnarok. I think that was when he started.
You could see him, you know, all the way through it. He's just a brilliant director. He's hilarious. But he can do his serious stuff when he wants to, too, you know. I'd recommend this if you have, superheroes.
100%. It's only taken half a billion around the world.
Oh, has it?
So that's actually barely covered its costs.
So, no, it's doing I was just going to say, so it's 250 gazillion monies that it cost to make plus 250 in marketing.
Yeah. And
isn't that what they say?
Last I heard, the viewing was down 70% on week two.
Oh, yeah.
That's a high, you know. That's not that high a drop off.
Well, compared to 70%? Maverick.
Compared to Maverick, yeah, which is the biggest movie of the year. Probably.
I used to do a podcast with this guy. He used to have all these numbers. It's great.
I know, you can't get good help.
I get good help these days.
Yeah. I have to say, I was once again completely baffled and confused with what was going on here. I just couldn't figure out in my head who's alive and who's dead and what's the timeline here. I thought everybody was gone after Thanos had fucking zapped half the people. And
no, everyone was saved after that.
Oh, okay.
Keep that, Mike.
And then they were talking about the Bifrost. Didn't that get destroyed in one of the movies?
The what?
Yes, it is destroyed, but they don't use the Bifrost now. They use Idris Elba's magic.
Oh, okay.
Which is in
Stormbreaker. So the Bifrost is not a Bifrost?
No, they use Bifrost magic.
Oh, okay.
It's like magic, but Bifrosty.
Okay. Yeah. Essence of Bifrost.
Right, right. Yeah. I can't understand why I was so confused. Then you make it so clear now, Mark.
Thanks,
man. Yeah. Was it just me though? Were some of the special effects a bit ropey? Some of them reminded me a bit of going back to the 1980s, like Flash Gordon-y kind of.
There was a scene where a building collapses, and I was sort of going, "Come on now."
Yeah. I don't know. The cinema I watched this in wasn't great. I wouldn't mind seeing it in a better one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then, I could come back to you and say,
"Yeah, I have an IMAX in my house. If you want to drop around, it's great."
Yeah. I'll go there. I think that some of the we can't do that. It's a spoiler. I'll save that for the after show.
So we're saying watch this anyway, are we?
100%, definitely okay. Watch it. Yeah. Great show.
Actually, just bring a reference book with you so you can look up who's alive and
yeah. Do your research, Mike.
Stormbreaker has Bifrosty magic.
Have both of you got HD TVs, I presume, at this stage?
Yes. HDR.
I was kind of behind that trend, right? So we get the old 4K signal now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out the other day there's a setting in there that makes it better.
HDR?
No, it's not HDR. It's to do with movement. Some sort of... I'll go and find it again and see what it is. But it's
dynamic HDR?
It has absolutely ruined shows for me. Because...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And some movies. Because you just go, they're on a set. You know, just straight away, it's just that they're in a set. Yeah.
It does just happen, doesn't it?
I've completely lost, you know, any immersion that immersion that I had prior to this because they're on a set and that guy's just there. And there's a dude just filming this on an iPhone or something, you know. It's just, you know, it's just ruined it for me. I think we've gone past.
That is the problem with technology.
I think we've gone past where we should have gone with quality. Although I've tried 8K now next, I suppose.
We delved too deeply and not wisely, Steve.
Did anyone else seen that effect? No.
Oh, that happened several years ago for me when we first got the new Flash TV. Megan Fox's bad skin was highlighted, and it just.
So you've just left the screen get dirtier and dirtier.
You shouldn't meet your
heroes.
So
there's a layer of stuff and grime.
So next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the Terminal List.
Okay.
On Prime, just to kind of refute some of Steve's theories.
Just very quickly.
Amazon Prime's quality. We'll probably watch some other stuff too. So have a look at our Twitter, WSIWpod. Just rolls off the tongue, right? we'll tweet on there. I'll try and put it in the bio as well.
Yeah.
Whatever the bio for.
Listen, thanks for coming. Really, really appreciate your support. I look forward to seeing you again someday back on the podcast. Thanks a million. So that's all we have for this week. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve.
Stay classy.
Classy.
Too soon.